Good morning. So today I am presenting on two different experiments that were conducted working towards identifying possible bacteria candidates for the control of botrytis. So beneficial bacteria has gained popularity within the green industry. And these are bacteria that can be used to promote growth or to overcome some sort of abiotic or biotic stress. And I am focusing more today on this biotic stress through the use of these bacteria to control a pathogen, so they would be acting as a biological control agent. And biocontrol has gained the interest of both consumers and growers for the potential use of it to decrease the utilization of pesticides within production. So the pathogen that I am interested in is Botrytis cinerea, which is a fungal pathogen that causes gray mold in floriculture greenhouse crops. Botrytis is a problem for many different plant species worldwide, and it has become resistant to some fungicides. And for this reason, finding alternative methods of control is important. And so the collection of bacteria that I'm evaluating is a collection that is being studied at the Ohio State University for various uses in agriculture. And the collection contains 61 strains of Pseudomonas. I began evaluating these strains through an in vitro assay. I did a dual plate inhibition assay. And then I did a couple greenhouse trials where I was looking specifically looking at the use of these bacteria, using them in floriculture crops for the control of botrytis. So I'm going to start with my dual plate inhibition assay. And in this experiment, I was really looking at this interaction between the bacteria and the botrytis. So to give you an idea of what a single plate, a petri plate, would look like in this experiment, I'm going to show you a diagram. So I started with my PDA plate, and in the center of that, I put a plug of botrytis. And then along both sides of that botrytis, I streaked the same strain of bacteria along both sides. After all of the plates were assembled, they were put into an incubator where I allowed them to grow. In this experiment, I had two different controls. I had a positive control, which was a cyclohexamide, which served as my fungicide. And then I had my negative control, which was liquid LB. To evaluate these bacteria strains to see how they reduce the growth of the botrytis, I took three different measurements. My first was a vertical growth measurement, so I looked at the growth of the botrytis in both the up and down directions. I then took a horizontal growth measurement of the botrytis, looking in both the left and right directions. For each of these measurements, I also calculated a percent growth reduction. So this was comparing those measurements back to the negative control. So I was able to see how much the botrytis growth was actually reduced. I also took a third measurement, which was a distance of inhibition. So this is measuring the area from the edge of the botrytis growth to the edge of the bacteria growth. And using all three of these measurements, I was able to determine my top performing bacteria. So I'm going to show you an example of what this data looked like. So this is one of my measurements. So I am looking at that horizontal growth measurement of the botrytis, which is shown in the picture on the right. So in my graph, I'm showing the percent growth reduction. So that was that calculation that I showed. So here along the x-axis are those are my top 20 performing bacteria. That isn't the entire collection. And the gray bar is my positive control, or the cyclohexamide, and the missing bar on the far right is my negative control. So looking at this graph, the treatments that are on the far left, those are the ones that have cause the greatest percentage in the reduction of botrytis, so the largest amount of percent growth reduction. So from this in-lab assay, I was able to identify my top 20 performing strains as potential candidates for the control of botrytis. Another conclusion that I gained from this experiment was that I was able to identify a method that can be used in future experiments in evaluating other strains of bacteria. So moving into my greenhouse trials, I actually used my entire collection of Botrytis, so I went back to my full collection of 61 bacteria, and I did this because I wanted to see how my in-lab results, so that dual plate inhibition assay, how well those results translated into the greenhouse. So I did these greenhouse trials, and as seen in this picture, I used Petunia hybrida carpet red bright. So this was a good colored petunia for me to use in a Botrytis challenge. And also in this picture, you see these plastic structures. So these are tents that allowed me to increase the humidity in the room. So I was able to get good Botrytis infection. I then ran into a problem of having a lot of bacteria treatments and not enough time or space to be able to evaluate these strains on the size of plants that I had. So I ended up going with an augmented design. This allowed me to increase my number of replicates of my controls and decrease my number of replicates of my new bacteria treatments. As shown here in this diagram, so it's just showing how I set up that experiment with those different number of replicates. So my controls, I had a positive control Cease, which is a commercial product. Its active ingredient is Bacillus subtilis. And then my negative control was liquid LB. So the way that I conducted this experiment was I started these plants from seeds. And then at transplant, they received their first treatment. The bacteria that I applied to these plants were grown to a certain concentration, and then they were applied to the plants as both a spray and a drench. They received these treatments every 2 weeks, and they received them 4 times in total. And the last treatment they received, I decided it was the last treatment because the plants had the number of flowers that I needed to conduct my study. At this time, I tagged all of the open flowers on the plant. So after their last bacteria treatment, all open flowers were tagged. And then they went into these high humidity conditions, and then they were inoculated with Botrytis. So I collected the Botrytis spores. Got it to a certain concentration and then sprayed each individual plant with Botrytis. About 48 hours after the inoculation, the plant started to show symptoms of Botrytis. And that is when I began my rating. Each plant, I rated every tagged flower on each plant, and I rated them from the first day that I saw symptoms until day 12. So it was 2 weeks after the last bacteria application. So I used this rating scale. So 0 is the flower didn't have any Botrytis, and then a rating of 7 is that the flower died because of Botrytis. And so using those daily rating measurements that I took on each of those flowers, I calculated some different parameters to help me understand what was going on in the greenhouse. So I calculated the area under the disease progress curve, the disease severity index, maximum disease reached, and disease incidence. And then on the final day of rating, I took some additional measurements or ratings, and including the new flower disease incidence and a final commercial rating, which is how sellable was that plant. And so using these different parameters, I was able to determine my top performing bacteria. So I want to show you an example of what this data looked like. So here I am showing two groups of bacteria that I tested. So the bacteria are represented along the x-axis, and these are all the bacteria that were represented in those two groups. And then along the y-axis, I have my area under the disease progress curve. And so this is a calculation that is done to help quantify the disease intensity or the disease progress over time. So you're looking at the, I calculated this by using the daily average rating for each plant and then looked at that over time. So looking at these graphs, the bacteria that are on the left have less disease than those that are on the right in each of these graphs. The gray bar is representing my commercial product, my positive control CEAS, and then the black bar is my negative control, which was the LB. So again, using these different parameters, I was able to identify my top six bacteria strains that have the potential to control Botrytis cinerea in floriculture crops. And another thing through this experiment, I was able to identify an experimental design, a methodology, and a rating system that helped me to identify these strains and can be used in future experiments to help me to continue to evaluate these bacteria strains. And with the information that I have gathered through these two experiments, my future plans are to compare the results from my dual plate inhibition assay to the results that I found in the greenhouse trials to understand how well those are, how well I can predict what happens in the greenhouse with my in-lab assay. And another thing that I will do actually in the fall is to evaluate my top performing bacteria in a higher replicated design, so I can further understand how these top bacteria are actually doing in the greenhouse. So with that, I would like to thank my lab mates as well as my funding and my committee for helping me to form these projects. And I would now like to take any questions. Yeah, so we use petunia and this specific color of petunia because it should Botrytis symptoms really well. But in the future, we want to look at how these bacteria can be used in different species because that's really important for the floriculture industry.
I have a couple questions about the methods. How yeah.
Yeah, they were, so that was pulled from a 3-day old plate. Mm-hmm.
And where did you isolate your Botrytis strains from? Did you isolate them yourself from ornamental crops?
They are from ornamental crops. We received it from the USDA lab. It is a strain that we've used in our greenhouses for other projects. And so we have kind of kept to this strain, and we're getting good disease with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you said that in the greenhouse you treat that with by the French of the bacteria and the strain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are not sure on what the mode of action is of these bacteria. So because of that, right now we're more in the discovery of trying to find which strain can possibly reduce the Botrytis in the greenhouse. And so because of that, we're trying to cover all of our bases, and so we're doing like spray and a drench to make sure that we've got it all covered for now. And then in the future, we want to figure out like which one would be better. Yeah, so I did 10 to the 4th cells per milliliter, and then I had a watchdog in the greenhouse room. So our greenhouse room has a environment reader in it, but we put a watchdog actually inside the tent, so I was able to monitor what was going on. And we had foggers underneath those tents as well to increase the humidity. So the plants were, and they were pretty humid and wet in there. Yeah, that's a good point. That is something that we have thought about. There's a lot of different avenues that we're looking at going with this, and one of them is looking at what different points in production that this can be applied. So that is something that we are looking maybe towards doing.
Yeah.
Did you recover your original strains, beneficial strains from your plants? And if so, are you equally successful at different time points, or do you see a decrease in the ability to recover it after application?
Yeah, so we have not done that to this point yet. This is more of like a high throughput screen to try and identify those top bacteria, and then we hope in our coming experiments to be able to re-isolate those strains and look at them and see how long they last, and if how often like they need to be replied or reapplied as well. Good, thank you.